Phrase of the day, big fat hoax. Love big fat hoax.
Never heard that before. Lie, yes, never hoax. But there you go. That's Donald Trump's response to the New York Times story that, Russian agent. And look, do I think there was a bunch of stuff going on? Absolutely. I'm not really comfortable with the agent part yet. So we'll see as more of this unwinds. Still waiting for Mueller's report, and to me, that's going to be hopefully where we base our information on what Mueller rolls out and the facts that come out of it. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think, Manchurian candidate? Was he born and bred to be president?
Are you saying that Putin's that dumb to make him that? Are you saying that to make him the agent?
Yeah, well, you know, I've often said the guy's really an empty vessel. I mean, he's brilliant. He's brilliant at, ways, hey, look at me. He's brilliant at you know, that
branding.
Whole branding. Mm-hmm. But as you know, as a policy person, as someone to keep a secret, as someone, he's the perfect destroyer.
You know, I have friends, and they, of course, called me this morning as I was in between radio stations, and they're like, "Oh, you see?" And I said, "Stop, hold on, let's play Machiavelli for a second. Here's the thing. Do I think that at some point in time after Comey was fired, that this statement that you know, he was the Manchurian candidate, the old Frank Sinatra, Angela Lansbury movie, the plant in the White House to control the United States. Do I think somebody said that potentially in the FBI? Yes.
Sure.
I think they could have. Yeah, absolutely. And do I think then they turned it over to Mueller? Yes, I do. Do I think that is going to come about? No, I don't, because I'm skeptical of the FBI. Plus, now, if people get out front on this, and this becomes the story of the day, and he is the mole, he is the candidate, the Manchurian movie finally came true, and then even Mueller himself says, nah, then this just builds a case for the administration that you see they will go to any lie, any length, et cetera. Number two, you know, Comey was a train wreck with Hillary Clinton, you know, cleared her, then trashed her, which you don't do when you clear somebody, renewed the case right before the election, clearly interfered with an election, clearly. Right. And then right before the election, within an hour or hours, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, so I don't trust him anyway, either way, R or D or independent or whatever. I don't have any faith in him that he wasn't nothing but political. But do I think that there are dots to be connected in business and money and oligarchs and Saudis and on and on and on? Sure. Anybody that has a worldwide business, that can happen. And, you know, he's got his son-in-law and his son-in-law's father running businesses and the kids. Sure. I think, in fact, that's a path that people are going to pursue. But I think they've got to be very careful of the Manchurian candidate, because if that was true and Mueller found out, because Mueller's, you know, he's been in the FBI, and he found out that was true, Rick, he would have had to have, in the interest of the United States, acted upon that months ago. I mean, literally acted upon it, you know.
No, absolutely. And, you know, but here's the thing. I remember back during the Obama years, I had friends saying that Obama was the Manchurian candidate.
Well, no, he was the candidate from Mecca. He was the plant from the Arab world.
No, that as well. But, you know, I'm looking at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It's saying, is Obama the Manchurian candidate? I mean, there were stories out there, the same thing.
Sure.
You know, he was born and bred to be president, and, you know, because
right.
he's going to bring down, he's going to make this a socialist America. So, you know, that cuts both ways. And look, I'm with you. I have very little trust in the FBI, the NSA, the CIA. All of this makes me very uncomfortable that I have to defend those organizations, which have done some pretty crummy things over the years.
Well, you know, Rick, when I got in trouble, and there's stories out there on the net somewhere, I'll have to surf it. I haven't for years. You know, one day the Los Angeles Times called and the phone rang, and they wanted to know if that they had credible sources that the Shah of Iran's daughter bought me a boat.
Wow, what kind of boat was it?
It was a real nice one. It was a 60-foot long boat that I could never actually drive. And I did have a boat, and it was in the, you know, if she'd have bought me a boat, it would have been a lot nicer than this one. But I did have a boat, and it was docked in D.C., and I got it, you know, instead of an apartment, and you can take a tax, you know, break off of it, et cetera. So I had pointed out to the newspaper that the Shah of Iran's daughter died. And she died of the youngest. Her name was Laila Pahlavi, and she was the youngest daughter. She died in 2001. I got now. This inquiry was made in 2000. She died in 2001 of a drug overdose in Paris, right?
Right.
And I pointed that out. Unless she came back from the dead, it was very difficult for her to have bought me that boat. So I'm racking my brain. Where does this come from? So I talked to my lawyers. Well, I had bought the boat off of an Iranian-American whose family was of the lineage of the old Qajar dynasty, which was the kings and queens of Iran centuries ago, okay? And she happened to be of that lineage, and she was an American, Iranian-American. And my lawyers called the Justice Department and said, because they had worked there, and said, oh, by the way, she's an FBI agent. He bought the boat off of one of your FBI agents.
So let me ask you, because my mind immediately goes, is this a setup? I mean, is this them trying to stab you in the back?
Well, what happened was somebody within the FBI got pieces of information, ran with it, leaked it. It got to the Los Angeles Times. It was a very sexy story, you know, spicy.
Yeah.
Shah of Iran's daughter buys a congressman a boat, and that's how it started. And I mean, this, I can't make this up. Now, they ran the story anyway, saying that it really wasn't a story, but they ran it.
We have a story, but it isn't really a story.
Right. Yeah. And it gave no credibility to them pursuing me. Of course, you know, I eventually did a plea, but if I'd have been fighting this in court, I'd have used that. But they went to that extent. It was the Justice Department that did it,
yeah.
The FBI.
See, but
I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is where we're in a very weird world, because this is Trump's Justice Department. You know,
yes, I know.
Is really a very strange kind of situation, because, you know, it's his people kind of doing this. And look, I understand, as I've been reading these stories and I've been hearing, you know, people talk about it, you know, there were conversations all around. There were also conversations that, you know, he's completely innocent as the, you know, the driven snow, which I don't buy either. So the extremes, I'm not buying. I'm somewhere, you know, in the middle of the road going, you know, here's a guy who's got international business ties. He's elbow to elbow with these Russian oligarchs. The moneyed interest is paramount, and those are the decisions that are being made. Those are the priorities that they're going to push. Not so much of average everyday working Americans, because I don't buy his populist rhetoric, but that of the wealth class, of the global wealth class of which he claims the disdain. You know, here he is doing some of their stuff that I do buy.
Well, I think, you know, like business-wise, Rick, and the business connections, you know, they can, I mean, there's a report has been written on it. In fact, the president's son, have you ever looked at the statements that his son or both of his sons made on the business end of things?
Yeah, which one, Junior or the idiot one?
Junior, I guess. It was, Junior. And the thing that they said was directly, it was about the Deutsche Bank. Now, they said that Russians make up, this is a quote, Russians make up a pretty disproportionate cross-section of a lot of our assets. Donald Trump Jr. in 2008.
Right.
We don't rely on American banks. We have all the funding we need out of Russia, boasted Eric Trump in 2014. Okay, that I'm just directly quoting. I'm not making this up. So, you know, and if you look at 86 all cash purchases from 2003, all these purchases to 2017, it's on Trump properties by Russians totaling $109 million. And in 2010, the private wealth division of the Deutsche Bank loaned him hundreds of millions during the same period that the Deutsche Bank was laundering Russian money. I'm just quoting. That's fact. Those are facts that I just
those
quoted.
Are facts. No, I mean, there's no disputing that. And to me,
right.
that's the part of this that's important. You know, the exactly. P-tapes and some of the other more salacious stuff, I don't really get all involved in it. It's follow the money. It goes back to the, you know, very simple. It's the kleptocracy, stupid. And I just believe that, you know, all of that, yeah, I mean, the Russian money was in on it. And I also want an investigation into the NRA laundering Russian money as well. I mean, there's so much of this that plays. And look, you know, the Russian money was on the left too. I mean, there are a number of programs that are funded by, you know, Sputnik or RT or all of those things. We've really got to look at, you know, exactly, you know, who we're allowing to do what in this country at some point. Or am I just being paranoid on that?
No, so I mean, I think there are things that, you know, can be looked at. Now, does that mean that Putin said, I want you to do this and do that for this and that? No, doesn't mean it. But it does mean there's dots or connections or something that is worth looking at. Yep. So I think they've got to be very careful which direction that they look.
Absolutely. And look, you know, as I said from the day one almost, I believe that Junior and Idiot Son and Kushner and the rest of them were extraordinarily overambitious and entitled and willing to break whatever rule they could possibly break to get ahead, because that's what business is. And they looked at this as a business venture and not as a campaign that they had to follow laws. So did they break a bunch of campaign laws? I'll bet you, yeah, absolutely. The fact that they took the meeting with that Russian lawyer just shows how arrogant and idiotic they were. And looking for dirt. So for me, yeah, there's a lot there.
Well, I mean, this is like, for example, the Clinton Foundation and Hillary was Secretary of State. Eventually, if you do that, you're going to beg for problems. It's just natural. You're going to beg for problems, okay?
Yep.
Well, it's the same thing with President Trump in the White House. He can have his Trump business, but you can't have the people running the business, which happens to be the kids and the son-in-law, in the White House.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You're begging again for trouble, because who picks up the phone to Mohammed bin Salman is Jared Kushner, who's advising the president that this is all nonsense about Khashoggi being chopped into 15 pieces. Jared Kushner. You know, that's an easy dot to connect.
Yeah. No. And
happens to Kushner later on? Does he get I don't know if he does. Does he get a benefit for doing these things later when he leaves the White House? I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see. Plays out. But at the end of it, I still believe, you know, Trump is his own worst enemy, because he just can't keep his mouth shut. I mean, you know, my grandfather always said, you have the right to remain silent. Use it. And this is one of those things where he just can't shut up. He can't get out of his own way.
Well, someone told me today on one of the radio shows, they said, he actually tries to make himself look like the Manchurian candidate. Because he just talks too much.
Well, let me ask you that on the other side of this, because isn't part of the, you know, the game plan, couldn't part of the game plan to make it look so ludicrous that, oh, they're calling him the Manchurian candidate now, and you throw up your hands and go, this is all just, as he's saying, a big hoax, to where when the real report comes out and real crimes of, you know, campaign violations and having meetings with Russian agents in the Seychelles and in Trump Tower and, you know, go down the list of, you know, people who went over to Russia, you know, doing who knows what, when that really comes out and you document that, then people may look at that as well and go, well, that's all a hoax too.
I mean, there's so many twists and turns, and I think, you know, as things went on such a long time, I think they have to, you know, begin to wrap some things up. Now, there's different paths that they're taking now. Elijah Cummings is having Cohen come in to his committee, the government reform.
And again, stupid on that.
Cohen's, I can't imagine if you're going to be sentenced that you're going to go before a committee.
Just dumb.
I don't get it.
I'm going to watch it, but I still think it's really
dumb. Oh, yeah, I'm
going to
watch it. It's my job.
just dumb. No, I think this is going to be entertaining, because I want to see the Republicans attack him and try and trip him up and try and perjure himself, because ultimately he's going to be sentenced for one thing. If he perjures himself, you know they're going to push for perjury charges. So it'll be fun to watch.
Sure. Absolutely.
There should be a perjury drinking game or something. I got to find somebody who's going to make up a good drinking game to go along with it. Let's move along. Turkey. Evidently, Trump has threatened to, quote unquote, devastate Turkey economically if they hit the Kurds. Are we buying any of that?
Well, this is coming from a couple of areas. And my favorite punching bag, John Bolton, national security advisor. Number one, Trump, all of a sudden, the president announces this shocking, you know, news, we're going to leave Syria. I mean, and the generals are saying, oh, we are? And John Bolton is saying, oh, we are, and so is the Secretary of State. Then Bolton, a week ago, makes a statement. He's going to go to Turkey, meet with the president of Turkey, and not all the troops are leaving. Some are staying until Turkey agrees not to go after the Kurds, who have been our friends, the Kurds. And the president of Turkey says, no, I'm not meeting with you, and you've made a stupid decision. So it turns around, the president still is withdrawing troops, which makes Bolton look, you know, ridiculous, because Bolton is saying we're not going to withdraw all the troops. So I think this is the president's way of withdrawing the troops, but still saying, okay, you know, we're not keeping troops, but if you do anything against the Kurds, we are going to, you know, devastate you economically. So I think this is the, you know, the little salvation for, I think Bolton must have organized this once Bolton realized he wasn't going to get the troops to begin to stay, you know, in Syria.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard to make Bolton look any sillier than he looks with that giant chia pet on his lip. But
you look, actually, Trump originally didn't hire him because of that mustache. But look at, and that's true. But look at what Bolton just
hold
did.
Hold on, stop, wait.
Well, that's true.
I know, but stop and think about how childish and petulant and ridiculous that's
true.
I'm not going to hire you because, not that you.
I used to put Bolton's picture on a refrigerator and tell my kids, I actually did do this. This is your babysitter if you misbehave. And Trump, actually, President Trump, I know for a fact, actually made statements he didn't want him around because the mustache was so hideous. This is when Bolton was trying for another job. Yeah, true. So, but Bolton, three mortars, not ballistic missiles, three mortar were launched by somebody from Iran, who knows, into Iraq. And they hit an empty parking lot, and Bolton tried to put together a war plan against Iran. He did.
What? You do know that is his wet dream list right there.
Yeah, well, that's it. Iran, he wakes up at night screaming Iran, you know.
I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to go any deeper into that.
Alrighty.
Because that only gets me in trouble.
I know where you're going.
And finally, let's wrap this up. 2020 is around the corner. Gonna be start to be fun. I mean, we're gonna start seeing a bunch of Kamala Harris is gonna announce soon. You've got Julian Castro gonna announce. You've got Elizabeth Warren. You got a whole bunch. Eventually, there's gonna be a field of like 100. I saw one of the gun crazy groups is out against Mike Bloomberg. The idea is coming out. The Green New Deal to me is not a bad idea. What's going on?
Well, now, the Green Deal is fascinating because actually the Green New Deal is something that will appeal to Texas. I know we are thinking of oil and things, but as things move, in just different directions, the Green New Deal will focus on non-fossil fuels. Now, I'm from Belmont County in the heart of coal country, but even some of the coal owners and the people that were working in different coal mines have started to recognize that, possibly the solar and other types of energy can be brought to different states.
Right.
And then some of the jobs brought there. So that's what they're going to be promoting, the Green New Deal. I think it's important how they promote it, that they need to promote not just on, hey, this is environmentally cool, but they need to show the job end.
The jobs.
The jobs end. If they do that, it's just not going to be deemed a, quote, crazy lefty Greenpeace deal. It's going to be something very legitimate.
Yeah, well, I kind of go back to the 2016 campaign. Hillary tried that. We're going to replace, those coal jobs with, people making solar panels, and we're going to do job training to do that stuff. All we heard was she doesn't care about coal.
Yeah, she kind of said it wrong.
She did. She needs a good messaging guru like you. But,
right.
I guess it's how you say it, but it was kind of the same thing. Coal is dying. It is what it is.
Yes, and someday, down the road, if we want to sustain the planet, we can't have 900 million more cars.
And it would be nice to have really good public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to own a car? No. I got three of them because I got to get around.
Exactly.
The wife needs to get places, and we need... Would I love to be able to hop on a bus or a train and get to work? Absolutely. When I lived in Cleveland, I used to do it all the time. Nothing like that in central Pennsylvania. I'd love to go to Washington, D.C. or to Philly or Pittsburgh and take a train. There's no way that happens now.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.